today it is 29 degrees in Miami. Can you believe that? 29 degrees Celsius, that is. Sounds kind of weird to me, but that is what former Governor Lincoln Chafee wants us to say. You may have heard the presidential candidate's suggestion that we go metric.
Earlier, I said, let's be bold. Here's a bold embrace of internationalism. Let's join the rest of the world and go metric.
That statement last week attracted the attention of the late night shows. Here's Seth Meyers.
Former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee, he announced his run for president yesterday, and he said he wants the U.S. to switch to the metric system. Okay, you know what? I will start. Lincoln Chafee won't get within a kilometer of the White House.
But when it comes to the point that Chafee was making, it's worth noting the U.S. is one of only three countries in the world, along with Liberia and Myanmar, that still hasn't officially adopted the metric system. Mark Henschel is a math professor and the Central Area Director for the United States Metric Association. He's with us from Northern Public Radio in DeKalb, Illinois. Professor, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
And what was your reaction to Lincoln Chafee's announcement, his proposal that we join the rest of the world and go metric?
Well, there are a couple of things. One is that we have to be very careful that proponents of the metric system don't sound like a bunch of crackpots. And I think a lot of us who have been in the metric movement for 30 or 40 years have seen this in the past where, you know, somebody comes out and says that they're for the metric system, but, you know, they're also walking around in pink tutus and smoking green cigarettes or something. And, we have to watch out that when we have voices proposing the United States adopt SI, that they be credible. I wish Mr. Chafee would have mentioned more the real advantages of going metric and take it from there rather than, well, everybody else is doing it, so we should too.
And when you say SI, by the way, you're talking about Système International, which is the modern name for the metric system around the world. But what are the advantages that you're talking about? Why would it be a good idea for the U.S. to go metric?
Well, it's easy. In most cases, all you have to do is switch decimal points. For example, I'm 168 centimeters tall. So if I want to find out how many meters tall I am, I just move the decimal point.
You're
two
1.6.
places. Yeah, exactly, 1.68 meters. And it's very easy to do any other calculations. For example, if you happen to be in dam building or something that requires a lot of different unit conversions, you have water which falls in rainfall. Well, that falls in inches, and it falls on acres. And then you get water in acre feet, and then you have to calculate the size of the pipe in cubic feet per minute. It's just ridiculous. But with metric, the advantage is that the units are all dimensionally homogeneous. They're all related to each other. You have area, volume, mass are all related to each other. So if you have, let's say, a liter of water has a mass of 1 kilogram. Therefore, if I have a 355 milliliter can of water, well, that's 355 grams.
Well, if it's such a no-brainer, then why has the movement kind of petered out in the U.S.? We did have the Metric Conversion Act in 1975 that was signed by President Gerald Ford, but here we are decades later, and we're still not using the metric system.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was a voluntary legislation. It really didn't have any teeth in it. And I think a lot of people got scared. I think a lot of people have a misconception of what it actually means to go metric. For example, if I walked into a grocery store and it had 2-liter bottle of soda pop, and that's all it said, 2 liters, I don't think anybody would complain about that. So, you know, what's the difference between what we have now and doing that? Well, you just erase the 66.7 fluid ounces, which is really redundant and unnecessary in the first place. But people say, oh, you have to multiply this or divide by that. And people are afraid of math. They think going metric means that I'm going to have to multiply or divide. Well, you don't have to multiply or divide. Let's take the temperature, for example. 30 is hot. 20 is nice. 10, wear a coat. 0 is ice. So there's really no need to multiply or divide by 9/5 and add 32. It's just unnecessary, you know. I mean, if it's going to be above 30 degrees, go swimming.
Well, see, this is where I disagree with you, by the way. I think that knowing that it's 60 degrees Fahrenheit or 70 degrees or 80 degrees is a much more precise thing to know than whether it's if it's freezing. Obviously, it's freezing. I don't need to know in my daily life whether water is going to freeze out on the ground or not. But this is what a lot of the supporters of the metric system like you often say, is that it would be better to do things in Celsius.
It is better to do things in Celsius. And the entire planet, you know, basically every other country in the world, I think even Miramar and Liberia have realized that Celsius is much simpler and much easier to understand. There's no more accuracy about Fahrenheit than Celsius. I mean, the degrees are a little bit bigger, but, you know, if you want to go at a half a degree, I suppose you could if you wanted to, but I think you're just used to Fahrenheit. And I think that's why a lot of Americans resist SI.
Well, take us back to how this all started. How old is the metric system versus the system that we use in this country today?
Well, our system goes back to the Romans. I mean, if you talk about the mile, for example, what is a mile? Milli, you know, that stands for 1,000. So you're talking about 1,000 paces of a Roman soldier. So in other words, the 2,000 steps, a pace would be 2 steps. So 1,000 paces of a Roman soldier would be a mile, but then Queen Elizabeth changed that because she wanted the mile to be 8 furlongs. So you have, you know, this whole system built up in England over, you know, centuries of what yards, feet, miles, all this stuff. But the metric system is quite different. It was actually designed on purpose after the French Revolution that, what you had is you had businesses taking advantage of consumers. They'd weigh things, you know, at one scale in one town, then weigh it in a different scale in another town, and you'd pay based upon the different weights. Well, you know, I mean, consumers were getting screwed, so the French Revolutionary Council said, let's invent a system which is the same all over the country of France, and we'll make it so easy that even a peasant who can't read or write, even the peasants will be able to understand it. So, you know, they came up with a decimalized system. And everything was related basically to everything else. And then you had length, area, volume, mass, temperature, all part of the same system. So then the thing that happened with Napoleon, he actually hated the metric system. But what happened was he surrounded himself with all of these scholars so that any time Napoleon invaded a foreign country, he would take along with him various people, you know, artists and scientists and engineers. And these people actually wound up teaching other people in other countries that were conquered by Napoleon the metric system. Ironically enough, they actually thought it was a good idea, so the metric system spread fairly rapidly as more and more countries realized how simple it was.
Can you talk about a country that recently converted or that relatively recently converted to metric and how that worked out?
Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, Great Britain, Ireland, to name a few. Basically, the entire British Commonwealth switched to the metric system over the last 20 years or so. And what they basically did was they had a national program, a national plan. And basically, you know, they made sure that things got done on a certain date. And,
but if you go to the UK now, there are still areas where they don't use the metric system. For example,
very few.
Well,
very
if you're few. Driving on the highway, it tells you how many miles it is to the next destination.
So what? I mean, I've been to factories. I've been to England 5 times. I was in the Rolls-Royce factory. I was in the Land Rover factory. I've seen people do construction, cutting drywall in England, they all cut it in centimeters. I mean, if you walk into any grocery store, the beer is, what, 440 milliliters,
right?
I mean,
and that means something to you. Most people listening to that right now in the U.S. probably have no idea what
that
means.
No, look, I mean, half a liter, you've seen half a liter. You've seen a liter bottle of water. You know how big these things are. The fact of the matter is, if you really sit back and think, even though the Metric Conversion Act of 1975 didn't require anybody to adopt the metric system, plenty of people did. So, I mean, if you think about today, how much of the economy is already metric? Well, we have pharmaceuticals and we have medicines. We have pop and liter sizes. We map in square meters. Caterpillar tractor switched to the metric system. John Deere, General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Xerox, IBM. Alcohol is metric. Electricity is metric. Shampoo and soap are being sold in metric-sized containers. I mean, if you really think about it, our society really has moved quite a bit, even though, you know, ostensibly we still use, you know, miles on the highways and inches and feet when we build houses. There are plenty of aspects of this society where metric has taken hold, and I mean, there's really no reason why we couldn't keep moving on this progress with the appropriate political leadership.
That's Mark Henschel, who is the Central Area Director for the United States Metric Association. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, did he convince you? Let us know at our website, herenow.org. Do you think we should go metric? You can also weigh in on our Facebook page, facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Robin, are you?
I'm in awe of him.
This is Here and Now.